Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How to Talk, So Teens Will Listen and Listen, So Teens Will Talk by Adel Faber and Elaine Maslisch is a practical parenting and communication guide focused on the adolescent years. Building on the author's well-known approach from their earlier work with younger children, this book adapts the same respectful, skill-based method to the realities of living with teens, including independence-seeking, intense emotions, and frequent conflict over everyday responsibilities. Its purpose is not to offer a single theory of adolescence, but to give parents usable tools for talking in ways that reduce defensiveness and encourage cooperation. The book addresses common pressure points such as curfews, school, chores, peer influence, and risky topics that families may struggle to discuss. Throughout, the authors rely on concrete examples, brief dialogues, and a clear, accessible tone that helps readers translate ideas into real conversations. The central promise is that communication skills can preserve connection and trust while parents still hold boundaries and guide decision-making. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, acknowledging feelings to lower defensiveness. A core skill in the book is learning to recognize and acknowledge a teenager's feelings before trying to fix, lecture, or persuade. The authors emphasize that teens often stop listening when they feel dismissed, judged, or quickly corrected, even when parents mean well. Instead of arguing facts or insisting on instant compliance, parents are encouraged to name what they observe and reflect what the teen may be experiencing, such as frustration, embarrassment, or stress. This kind of emotional validation is not the same as agreeing with the teen's choices. It is a way to show understanding so the conversation can continue without escalating into a power struggle. The approach helps parents avoid common patterns like minimizing a problem, offering instant solutions, or using sarcasm, all of which can increase resistance. By giving feelings room, parents create a calmer foundation for problem solving and boundary setting. The practical benefit is that teens are more likely to share what is actually going on and less likely to shut down or respond with anger. Over time, this builds a climate where difficult topics can be discussed with more honesty and less fear. Secondly, inviting cooperation without threats or punishment. The book focuses heavily on how parents can ask for cooperation in ways that preserve dignity and reduce rebellion. Rather than relying on yelling, repeated nagging, or punitive consequences as the first move, Faber and Maslisch offer strategies that make it easier for a teen to say yes without feeling controlled. This includes describing the problem, stating expectations clearly, and involving the teen in finding a workable plan. The authors treat cooperation as something that grows when teens feel respected and when parents communicate with clarity instead of contempt. They also address how quickly a conversation can turn into a contest of wills when parents use moralizing language or sweeping accusations. Practical techniques encourage parents to separate the person from the behavior, focus on specifics, and choose words that keep the teen engaged. Importantly, the book does not suggest permissiveness. It aims to help parents get results while minimizing emotional damage so that daily issues like chores, homework, screen habits, or household rules do not become constant flashpoints. The broader theme is that cooperation is more sustainable when it is obtained through partnership and structure rather than fear. Thirdly, expressing parental feelings and concerns without blame. Another major topic is how parents can communicate their own feelings and limits in a way that teens can hear. The authors highlight that accusations and character judgments often backfire because they invite counterattacks or withdrawal. Instead, parents are guided to speak directly about their emotions, concerns, and the concrete impact of a behavior. This shift helps parents stay firm without becoming harsh, and it models emotional responsibility rather than emotional dumping. The book encourages language that is clear and honest, while avoiding labels that imply the teen is bad, lazy, or irresponsible. When parents communicate this way, they are more likely to be taken seriously and less likely to trigger shame-based defensiveness. This approach is especially useful when discussing high-stakes issues that naturally raise anxiety, including safety, trust, and values. By focusing on what the parent sees, feels, and needs, the conversation can move toward solutions instead of spiraling into personal attacks. Over time, it also helps teens learn how to state their own needs more respectfully. The result is a household communication style that handles strong emotions while keeping the relationship intact. Fourthly, setting clear limits while maintaining goodwill. Faber and Maslisch acknowledge that parenting teens requires boundaries, but they argue that limits can be set in ways that do not destroy closeness. The book emphasizes clarity about non-negotiables, especially around safety and family responsibilities, while also preserving opportunities for negotiation and choice where appropriate. A key idea is that teens are more likely to accept limits when they understand the reasoning and when the parent is consistent without being humiliating. the authors address common conflict areas such as curfews, social plans, school expectations, and household contributions, showing how the manner of limit setting matters as much as the limit itself. Parents are encouraged to avoid using control as a substitute for communication and to think carefully about how to enforce rules without turning every dispute into a courtroom argument. When limits are communicated with respect, teens can disagree without the conversation becoming a personal rupture. The book also supports repairing goodwill after conflict, so the discipline does not linger as resentment. The overall message is that boundaries and connection are not opposites. With the right language and stance, parents can be both firm and emotionally available. Lastly, encouraging autonomy, responsibility, and problem-solving, the authors present adolescence as a period when parents must gradually shift from managing to mentoring. A major topic is helping teens build autonomy and responsibility without abandoning guidance. The book encourages parents to treat teens as developing adults who can participate in planning, reflecting on consequences, and learning from mistakes. Instead of doing all the thinking for them, parents are shown ways to invite teens into problem-solving, which strengthens competence and reduces oppositional behavior. This includes listening first, asking questions that prompt reflection, and collaborating on agreements that make expectations explicit. The approach respects that teens want control over their lives, while still recognizing that parents have legitimate concerns about health, safety, and long-term well-being. When parents share responsibility appropriately, teens get practice making decisions and owning outcomes. This also helps families handle complex issues, including peer pressure and sensitive subjects, with more honesty. The book positions communication as the tool that makes this developmental handoff possible. Autonomy grows best in an atmosphere of trust, and trust grows when parents listen seriously and speak with respect even during disagreement. In conclusion, this book is best suited for parents, guardians, and educators who want practical language tools for everyday conversations with teenagers. Readers who feel stuck in cycles of arguing, nagging, or shutting down will benefit most because the authors focus on replacing reactive habits with specific communication skills. The main practical gain is a toolkit for handling intense emotions, gaining cooperation, and setting limits without turning every issue into a battle for control. It can also help adults discuss sensitive topics more calmly, since the methods emphasize listening, respectful honesty, and problem-solving rather than lectures. What helps the book stand out in the parenting category is its steady focus on doable interaction changes rather than abstract theory. Along with its use of relatable dialogues and an accessible style that invites practice. Many parenting books offer principles, but Faber and Maslisch are known for translating principles into words a parent can actually say in the moment. Compared with approaches that rely primarily on strict enforcement or permissiveness, this book aims for firm guidance plus empathy. The result is a realistic path toward stronger trust, more cooperation, and a relationship that can survive the stormier parts of adolescence. If you would like to support Adele Faber, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.